Good morning, Ashwood.
Good morning.
I realise that when I go elsewhere, I almost invariably say to the folks when I get there, I am really privileged and honoured to be with you. And I just want to tell you this morning, I'm even more privileged and honoured to be with you this morning. Because this is the place that God's put me primarily. This is the place where I love to be. And I hope, I did tell God in as I responded to Matt's word that I would be good. So I'll try. You may remember a few weeks back I read you an American young man's explanation of God. Do you remember? I haven't got time to do it all again. There are just some, I'm just going to give you some of my favourite lines and then one particular line that I want to kick off from. This is one of the ones I like. I've lost it now, blow. Oh, God sees everything and hears everything and he's everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over your mum and dad's head asking for something they said you couldn't have. I really like that one. And then you should always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy. And if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. Don't skip church to do something you think will be more fun, like going to the beach. This is wrong. And besides, the sun doesn't come out at the beach till noon anyway. But you shouldn't, and this is the one I want you to listen to, you shouldn't just always think of what God can do for you. I figure God put me here and he can take me back anytime he pleases. I figure God put me here and he can take me back anytime he pleases. And that's why I believe in God. See, if I'm talking about the kingdom of God and healing, we have to allow for the fact that it doesn't always go the way we want it to go. You'll remember that the end of last year, the beginning of this, I'd chosen to speak firstly on the faithfulness of God, and secondly, I intended to speak on God is good all the time. The faithfulness of God I managed to do. The goodness of God I did about 5 minutes, and then I finished up on the floor while Matt finished it off. But I want you to know that the statements that I made are just as important in that context as they would have been if I'd sailed through it all. In actual fact, I was struck with this intense pain that I couldn't get rid of. That's why I'm sitting down now. And 2 weeks of hardly sleeping, change of medication every few days, right through to morphine, where Molly says that I did lose the plot slightly at times. But I did still manage to preach for a short while on the faithfulness of God. And you see, I do think it's vital that we have that. See, when I realized that I was in one of those times, I really knew I was in one of those times when I knew for sure, but it was also really important for me to say, God is good all the time. And that includes the time when he's not answering my prayers, when I'm desperate. And believe me, I was desperate at times during those middle of the night hours when I couldn't lie in bed, let alone sleep. And I was shouting at God and crying out for some action. But Psalm 100 says, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." It's a true statement. It's true particularly when it's not all going the way I want it to. And I needed on those days to know he is faithful. I needed to know that he was there for me, whatever. Romans 8 expresses this so well. I read these words recently. They're selected from Romans 8. It's not the whole of the chapter. They are selected verses that I often read at funerals. Just listen to this. "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God's for us, who can ever be against us? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need to read Romans chapter 8 and keep reading it, because it is so solidly true. It's so vital. And you see, your view of God determines your life and how you live it. It's absolutely vital that you establish, perhaps establish in the good times, what you think of God, what you believe about his reactions, what you believe about what he's capable of, what you believe about miracles, about signs, about wonders, about healings. It's vital that you establish what you think of all that in the ordinary times, because then you can lean upon it in the extraordinary times, in the tough times. For me personally, and of course virtually everybody in this room knows, that I've got this little fight on with prostate cancer. And the reason for my pain over Christmas, that was the reason. That was why I'm sitting down rather than standing up. I did manage to stand up all time last week, but I had chemotherapy too on Thursday, and I'm still just a little bit dopey. But there are two positions that are different, but both apply to me, that I want you to hear. First of all, there's my faith position, what I call my faith position. You see, God said to me through a visiting prophet in Lincoln, 2 years before I knew of any of this trouble, you are about to enter the biggest fight of your life, but you'll win every round. I know most of you know that, but that is my faith position that I declare this morning, that I'm about to enter the biggest fight of my life, you will win every round. Now, at the time, there was nothing more than a little bit of minor irritation. I looked around and I thought, biggest fight of my life? Where? What? Why? And I put it on the shelf and waited. And actually, I forgot to take it down when the big fight did come, initially, till I suddenly realized that that was what it was talking about. And the faith position has been reinforced time and time again by other prophetic words, by texts, by emails, by letters, by prayers. There have been so many. And so many of them have come from you, good folk. And I also stand firm on the fact that God has ordered the number of my days. The Bible says so. I don't need a personal word to know that. The Bible says God has ordered the number of my days. And there's so much encouragement come from so many of these prophetic words that there's a good deal more that God has prepared for me to do. But I also have what I call my reality position, or the facts, if you like. Now, the earliest form of treatment, which caused me no trouble whatever, left me thinking, I'm doing all right here. In fact, lots of people would look at me and say, oh, I didn't know there was anything wrong with him. I behaved that way. Didn't feel as though there was anything wrong with me, to be honest. I had the odd little twinge, but nothing serious. And I seemed to win and win and win. And I was thinking, I like this winning. This winning suits me. But then, of course, and don't misunderstand me, I don't sit back and assume anything. I take every opportunity there is for prayer. There are people praying for me every day. There are groups that gather regularly to pray for me. I've not got it all sewn up. I'm not sitting back in my armchair. But it is easier to believe the word that says you'll win every round when all feels well than it is in the middle of the night on the 25th of December when you can't find a comfortable position and you're walking around your lounge crying out to God and not noticing any immediate response from that direction at all. When your family's gathered round you praying and the slightest touch on your leg produces searing pain, then you know this is the biggest fight of my life. And that's the very time when you need to be certain that God has said you'll win every round, even though you can't see how. We are in what I would describe, and what many people have described, as the now and not yet phase of the kingdom. Now and not yet. You see, sickness cannot exist in the kingdom of God. It has no place there. So therefore, I am not yet fully in the kingdom of God. Because if I were, I wouldn't need to sit on this stool. But when Jesus came and began his ministry, he said, the kingdom of God is near. He even a time or two said the kingdom of God is here. And many of us in this room have experienced a genuine sense, I'm in the kingdom of God right now. We've stepped almost, I often see it, it's almost like reaching through a curtain. It's almost like I sense the kingdom of God is very, very near. And in the kingdom of God, there's a declared word for my complete and utter healing. And it feels like I'm just sometimes putting my hand through the curtain and bringing it back and applying it to me. But then I need the power of the Holy Spirit to grasp hold of God's word for me. See, the kingdom of this world, the kingdom ruled still by Satan, despite the fact that he's a defeated foe, still has room for sickness. I reach through, almost like reaching through the curtain, as I've said, by faith, where cancer can't exist, but I seek by the power of the Holy Spirit to grasp God's word to me, the word about winning, but also the promises of healing and apply them, not just to me, but beyond. But then I also have to look in the reality stakes. I have to remember that one of the first things I did after I realized I was in the fight was to attend the funeral of a very good friend of mine, Rich Hubbard, 10 years younger than me, great ministry. Sure, he believed, I know he believed, there were great things ahead of him. I haven't got the answers. I've got some answers which I'm not going to give you this morning because they're not totally satisfactory, and I don't actually think they're the important issue. The important issue is that we can actually recognize that there's a reality situation and there's a faith situation. And I have to keep faith and reality in their places. Now, there are two broader, more important pictures I want to draw to your attention. First, this is not just about healing for me. What I'm talking about is not just healing for me or for any one of us in this room this morning. It's much, much bigger than that. It's not even just about healing for us in church, those of us who are already nudging God's kingdom. It's much bigger than that. When Jesus was on earth and when he empowered his disciples, the demonstration of the kingdom was many healings, many signs and wonders, demons cast out as well as Jesus' declarations. So because we believe the kingdom of God is still near, because it's certainly never been withdrawn, it's still within our grasp, we expect to see healings, etc. That's why we often make space, we'll do it again this morning, we make space at the end of our meetings for those demonstrations of the power of King Jesus. And that's also why we are embarking on healing on the streets with the other churches in the town. I do believe that God said that's the way we're to do it, because God loves unity so much. And because he's on the move in the churches in Kirkby, or in the church in Kirkby, not just our bit of it. The first training session took place last week. There's another one this coming Tuesday. It is not too late to join, and it won't be too late even after the training sessions. You just need an enrollment form from me. I've got a few on my chair there, and my signature on the form. And then you could join in. And some people will be out on the streets doing it, and some people will be the backup prayer in the church. But I said there were two important pictures, because you see, sickness is an irritation. Mine was tough over Christmas, but I do know that even if, and I want you to hear this, even if I have misunderstood something, or I do not successfully press through, or whatever, I know where I'm going. There's nothing to fear. So it's not what I want to see happen, but I want to make sure that you good folk, should that ever happen, still are in a place where you all believe that God is good all the time. But we're surrounded by people who don't have that certainty. And who's going to tell them? In the past, you know, people reacted to God out of fear. Fear of the consequences. Indeed, in Old Testament times, sickness was seen as God's punishment for sin. Now, sin doesn't have the same kind of power today. The kingdom of this world says that anything goes, provided it doesn't harm anyone else and it feels all right to me. That's not the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of this world. And then, of course, people have their own questions about God. We do, so they're bound to. If indeed they believe he's there. And I actually still think most people do, you know. I still think most people do when they're put in a position to really answer the question. But they do have a very limited view. You and I are so privileged. We've seen so much more. But the questions are there. And if there is a God, why does he allow this? Is he responsible for that? Couldn't he have stopped the other? Well, big questions. But it is vital. Say it again. Can't say it enough times. God is good all the time. All the time. That's his nature. He is altogether righteous, totally just, the epitome of integrity. That's a nice phrase, isn't it? Did you like that? The epitome of integrity. He is incredibly generous, constantly giving us what we do not deserve and withholding from us what we do deserve, because he's justice and truth. He cannot simply say, I'll let that person off today because they're good in other ways. But he did better than that. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die in our place and so to create a way of forgiveness. Let me tell you something. God is not nice. He's not. You don't read the Bible. God is not nice. He is good. He is not nice. Some people want to think of God as nice. You see, the truth is, I don't need to be let off. I need to be forgiven. And there's a world of difference between being let off and being forgiven. And if you're in the place this morning, isn't it great to hear Matt's story again? That is such a great story. But if there's anybody else in this room this morning who isn't certain that they've been forgiven, well, for goodness sake, don't step out of the room without making sure you are before you go. Let me just return to faith and reality for a moment. We need to be able to handle the tensions of faith and reality for ourselves and for others. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith in God, in who He is, what He's capable of, irrespective of a few facts, is essential for me in my walk with Him. You remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said? We know that our God is able when they were just about to be put into the burning fiery furnace. We know He can save us, but even if He doesn't. But even if He doesn't. It's a peculiar place to be, but actually, it's the safest place there is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Please, 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 make sure your faith is there. Faith in God, who He is, what He's capable of, irrespective of a few facts. It's essential for you and for me. Please be careful how you speak to those who are facing tough facts and feel that their faith is at full stretch. And to be honest, some people who see themselves as full of faith and think they have an immediate answer to my facts, well, if I'm honest, they're not always helpful. I'd like to encourage us to be really careful how we handle our faith position so that it is full of grace and truth as well as being full of faith. You know what Jesus said? He said tiny amounts of faith can move mountains. Remember what He said? Grain of mustard seed? Don't need a lot, it can move mountains. Hebrews 11 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's what faith is. And that's the place for you and me. We need to seek to find it for our own sake, but also for the sake of those who are around us who may be facing some tough facts. And also for a lost world who know no better. And actually, it is not beyond any of us. We all have our part to play. We can find that place because I know for a fact it's what God wants for us. And if that's what God wants for us, we're going to find it. We can find it. It might take some seeking. It might take some searching out, but we can find it. And actually, you know, you don't just need faith to move mountains. You need faith to live life well. You need faith to live life well. You need a faith that can recognize reality for what it is, but not allow it to rob you of anything that God has in store for you, and then for others through you. So, I'm going to suggest we pray. I'm faster when I sit down, aren't I? I am faster when I sit down. I'm fast. Whoa! Well, I know I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up to pray. I want us to pray together. There are two things I want us to pray about, then you can pick it up. I want us to pray in a moment about our own faith. Because I want to think that as we go out of this room this morning, because I believe this is possible, every single one of us could go out there with more faith than we came in with. It's perfectly possible because God's the giver of it. And He wants us to have it. Now, you will not have all the answers, I know that. Live with that. You'll have to live with that. Because you'll never have all the answers until you meet God face to face. And then you might. I'm not sure, really. Big, isn't it? But before we do that, I'd like us to pray for one particular person that I know many of you have been praying for. Most of you know Suzanne Morton, who's been with us, part of the church, for quite a while. And her eldest son, who's 21, had a series of heart attacks yesterday. Not just one, he had 20. Friday, was it? But I'm pleased to tell you that although they were really anxious about him yesterday, I did check up on the facts this morning. And the facts are better this morning than they were last night. And although there's still loads of questions, but his blood pressure's gone down and the signs that are around are good. And the churches in the town are all praying. I'd like us to pray. I'd like us not just to pray now. I'd like you to just go, and when that family passes through your mind, just whisper to God again that we might pray. And we pray not simply for him coming right through that, because that's only part of the story. We have to pray for his family, that they may somehow find this God we're talking about, may somehow find an element of faith that enables them to walk through this huge pressure. And it is a huge pressure. And as we often do in these circumstances, church, in our finances, we have some funds that we can make available to bless people in seriously stretched situations. We're going to do that at the end of this meeting. And actually, if you happen to be one of Suzanne's friends and you wanted to add more to that, I see Margaret's put an envelope on the back windowsill that you could add to if you wished, and then we'll make sure it goes to the right place. But would you just like to, shall we just stand for a moment? You don't need to. If you're able, let's just stand for a moment and let's just pray. Don't worry if you're not, it's not a big deal. Let's just focus our attention on that family for a moment. Kiana Suchanda. Kiana Sachanda. Lord, I'm offering my prayers in the context of what I've just said. And I'm offering my prayers, Lord, in the context of what I'm currently living. And so, in Jesus' name, we first of all reach out to Luke and we speak a word of healing to him. We say, God, would you give him a miracle? Because knowing what we know, he needs a miracle, God. Needs a miracle. But we know you are the God of miracles, Lord. And so we speak. We say, Luke, hear the voice of the Lord. We speak the word of the Lord to that young man. And we say, be healed. Receive a miracle in Jesus' name. But we also pray for his mom and his dad and his brother hovering nearby. For the folk in the churches across the town who've really stretched themselves. In fact, I'm so encouraged as I've heard stories of people out there praying. And we just lift our hearts, lift our voices for them. We say, God, would you allow your grace and your kindness and your mercy and your love to surround them right now? May they know the peace that passes all understanding, whatever is happening. Cause faith to rise within them, Lord. Cause peace to settle upon them, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do sit down again, because there's a really great story to go with this. Kirsty, can we... The story you told me over tea yesterday, can you just tell us that?
We went out the other night, Friday night, I think it was, into Nottingham, and I had a missed call from a parent who is Callum's mum. Now, you might remember Callum. He was the little boy that had a bad accident at school that broke his leg in several places. And God did a bit of a miracle and stuff with him. And I found it a bit bizarre that I got a bit of a missed call on the phone to her, because we don't generally chat or anything like that. It's just if we see each other at school. And I just sent a text message just to say, hi, is everything okay? I'm really sorry, I'm out in Nottingham. Is there anything I can help you with? Eventually she texts back just to say, I'm just checking that you know about Luke Morton, and checking that you know what's happening and that type of thing. And I said, oh, thanks very much. Yeah, we know about it. It's great. People have been meeting down in one of the churches and stuff tonight to pray for him. And she sent one back just to say, yep, I was there. There's some great, kind people praying for him and stuff. And as a family, we're praying with him. And I had to just double check that the text message was from her because I couldn't put the two together, which I thought was a bit bizarre. But actually, it just kind of nudged me again just to remind me that God's still doing something with that family. Even though kind of Callum's well and he's doing well and stuff at school, God's not forgotten them. I don't know what the connection is or anything. But I just thought, what a way that God kind of works through different circumstances.
Don't you think it's a great story? To think that that family, who they did come in here and we did pray, and the little boy's so much better, but that when something like this happens, they suddenly find themselves in church. They suddenly find themselves praying. And we need to pray for that. That's why I want to ask God to increase your faith and mine before we finish. Because that's what we need, isn't it? Because you see, we can begin to... I mean, I watched the double take on that row as Kirsty said who it was. Because they couldn't really believe it. It's amazing. It is amazing. God is incredible, is he not? Is he not? So, I'd like to just encourage you. I want you to do a little bit here. If you are asking God for more faith, I want you to find your own personal way of reaching out to him, whether it's putting your hand up, your hands in front of you, however you like to do it. But do something. We'll close our eyes, but do something that says to God, I'm up for this. I'm up for this. Because, to be honest, it's not just for me to do, it's for you. Because God actually wants our response, doesn't he? Yeah? So, Father, kubur yabanda sata. Oh, God. God, we're a group of your people, and your word is so clear to us. And we thank you that we do have faith. For most of it, it's not very big. But we've got some, Lord, and we've seen you do amazing things, and we're truly grateful. But this morning, Lord, we acknowledge our shortfall. We acknowledge our shortfall, Lord. And we're saying, God, would you give us some more? Would you give us some more? Would you stir something up within us that causes us to expect more and more? When we go out on the streets praying for folk in Kirkby, stir something up within us that expects to see things happen. When we hear stories like that, may they be so frequent, Lord, that we stop being surprised. God, would you take each one of us and cause us to be the answer to the prayers of our neighbours, the answer to the prayers of those whom we work with, the answer to the prayers of those in our community, the answer to the prayers of those we rub shoulders with on a daily basis. God, help us to find our reality position, but our faith position. And Lord, just take us today one step beyond where we've ever been so that our faith is increased. And may we be a blessing to those around us. May we release healing to others, and may we be those who declare and live the good news to those who are around us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.